And they kind of looked at me and they said the answer was alcohol.
Tom Caulfield, James Whittle.
This is the story of The Tempest 2.
So, ladies and gentlemen, The Tempest 2.
Welcome back to The Tempest 2 podcast.
Welcome back, everyone. Must apologise for an impromptu week off. My fault. I was anticipating being able to dial in remotely from Africa. However, my itinerary was jam-packed. Couldn't make it work. Therefore, we are 1 week delayed, but we're back. Nevertheless, welcome back to The Tempest 2 podcast.
It's Africa's just mad, isn't it? Oh no, it's your itinerary.
It's got absolutely
Africa,
nothing to do with Africa.
No, but it is a mad place.
Yep.
but that's not why we didn't record. But how was your week there?
It was very, very good, thanks.
Good.
I was out there for a friend's wedding. A week of basically just a week long party, really. Just festivities every day.
Fantastic.
You know when you it's one of those places, well, Cape Town is not Africa as a whole, where you just go out for lunches and drink wine every single day.
Yeah.
So after like a week of that, you're like, poor, I am worse off than when I arrived. really good week, really good. How was the UK whilst I was away?
It was fantastic.
Yeah.
Actually. Yeah. It really came into its own.
Yeah, it was best weather you've ever had.
Last week was actually probably the UK's finest week. No, the weather was shite. But yeah, it was a solid week. I just mainly held down the fort. What did I do? I did.
I said I held down the fort.
Other than holding the fort down, did some of these swimming drills that we were given.
Oh, did you now?
So we did our
sneaky bastard
first swimming lesson. I wasn't going to wait for you to get back.
Don't train if I'm not here.
we did our first. Well, we had a swimming lesson. I think it was after the last time we recorded.
Yes. Yeah, we haven't spoken about it yet.
With our big 10-kilometer open water swim at the beginning of September. So we had a swimming lesson, which was useful. And off the back of that, we got sent by our coach some training sessions, I suppose. So I've been doing them.
What did you think about the lesson?
I found it useful.
Yeah, it was useful. I was kind of hoping for a bit more of you're doing this completely wrong.
Yeah,
you should do this.
Yeah, no, I wasn't. I don't think I was expecting that.
Yeah, I kind of was because I can't swim, so I was kind of hoping she'd be like, no, no, you're doing this wrong.
Yeah,
you need to do this.
No,
whereas it basically ended up being like, yeah. All good. You've just got to fucking swim miles.
Yeah, exactly. That was the thing.
I was hoping for a golden bullet.
Yeah. we turns out we can actually both swim, which isn't that surprising, but I think we find it very hard, but purely because we don't swim very often.
Mm.
So yeah, some of the drills I just find them really hard.
Yeah.
So I've been doing them and it's been quite embarrassing. One of them, it's such a simple thing.
So like, get out the kids' pool.
just breathing on one side. I basically can't turn my head to the left, which is quite embarrassing. So I've been trying to do that and hitting the little barrier, whatever it's called, the little thing in the middle. I'm like, how can I be this shite? So I'm hoping that just the more you do it, the better it gets. So I did that. And I forgot about this. I haven't told you about this.
Oh.
I took someone's place in the London Marathon.
Did you?
So yeah, someone who... This happened the last time I did London Marathon. Someone just, obviously, everyone, loads of people that do it just get injured. So he said, he's like, put it out there. Does anyone want to run London? I can't do it anymore. And usually you can defer for a year, but he deferred last year. So you can't do it twice. I was like, yeah, fuck it. Go on then.
Like it.
So it's 7 weeks away. So I've done two runs.
Right.
Maybe three now. Had a little niggle in my calf on the second one.
Yes, welcome.
I had to put 5 days in between them.
Hey, well, luckily, January was the ultimate prep.
Yeah, true.
Running 2K every day.
It must have been good for something, that, really.
Well, yeah, we got loads of followers. Oh, no, wait. We actually lost followers. So, yeah, all in all, great month.
Yeah, maybe that's where it came from. I thought, that can't go completely to waste. But I don't think it's transferred.
I was telling you earlier that before we got onto the London Marathon that I got absolutely taken to the cleaners when I was giving the best man speech at the wedding. And the MC, who's an avid Tempest 2 fan but likes to pretend he's not, kind of started bigging me up. You know, he's like, he's an international keynote speaker. You know, this is going to be amazing. Like, just setting the bar high. Then he's like, he's an infamous adventurer that most recently broke records by running 2 kilometres every day in January around Soho Farmhouse.
So, oi! Yeah, fuck off, like,
you fucking dick. I've rode the Atlantic, you piece of shit.
That is good, though. Yeah. He does have a point, doesn't he?
Yeah. I mean, it's a disaster, let's be honest.
Oh, fucking fantastic. Yeah, so that's what I'm ultimately going to be switching between. Running and swimming like I'm a 60-year-old middle-aged man.
High rocks. Yeah. We've signed up for too much. Yeah. This is your fault.
I know. High rocks is on the back burner.
It's that's in like a month, isn't it?
I know.
It?
Every time I go in there, every time I go in the gym, I just hear all people talking about is high rocks. And it's putting me off.
Nausiness.
Yeah, it's putting me off. I'm just loading the sled up and I'm just like, oh God.
There's a woman in my gym that's training for it. And we got speaking about it recently. And it doesn't help that she's a fucking unit.
Right.
Like, she is very muscular, very fit. And she's pushing this sled around. And I'm just like watching, like, she's like, are you training high rocks today? It's like, no, not today.
It's a bit more mobility for me
it's
today.
Just biceps today.
It's his recovery session. She's like, I do my sessions at home.
It's like, yeah, no, I'm all right. You carry on. Yeah, so I have to do it in like the dead of night when she's not there so I don't look like a twat.
You sound like she's there all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. So I'm a bit, you know, I think with high rocks we'll be fine.
Are we going in untrained?
Well,
perfect.
No.
Yeah, like it. Is that the angle?
We'll do something.
Yeah,
I imagine.
Yeah, all right.
But it's just one of those things, isn't it?
We'll get through.
Exactly. We'll just get there.
We didn't get through.
It's just exercise 8 ways.
To be fair, if you're training for a marathon, by the looks of it, I think the hardest thing about high rocks is running.
It's a lot of running, isn't it?
It's just having an absolute engine.
A lot of running.
The rest of it, you know, lunges and that's fine, isn't it?
I can push a sled for a bit. Yeah, we'll be knackered.
Just
well done, high rocks.
Here we go. Look at us creating a nice soft pillow for us to land on.
God's sake.
Yeah, it's pathetic. I didn't want to do it anyway.
So we got an hour and 45 minutes. The two slowest men to finish. Fuck.
Okay. Nice. London Marathon. Love it.
Yeah.
Well, you're a veteran now, so you know the drill.
Yeah, it's a good day. It's a shame I've got a run as a guy called Cliff, but...
Cliff Richard.
Cliff, who's 60 or something. But yeah, I'll put an average shift in, probably finish in a very standard time.
If you do put anything out about raising money for charity, I, as you know, I already give most to Amaze. So
that's no, it's not for charity, which was part of my thing.
Okay,
I was never going to do it for charity.
Good stuff.
I couldn't handle the pressure.
Yeah, fair.
Of raising money. But yes, so that's kind of what I've been up to this week. We thought we would peel back the curtains.
Ooh.
And roll out the stories. I know we're going to talk about something that we actually haven't spoken about much, if at all, on this podcast, and that is Dose.
Dose.
Did we speak about it maybe last year at some point?
Very vaguely. Very,
very briefly.
Give the elevator.
So yeah, what I'll do is I'll tee up a little bit and then I'll let you talk about Dose and then we'll go through some bits. But in line with, if those of you that do subscribe to the newsletter saw what went out last week, it's going to be around that sort of theme. But at the beginning of lockdown, almost because of lockdown, we started a company called Dose, which was all about helping people, train people on their soft skill development, really. We built a pretty incredible platform. I'll say it.
There you go.
It was pretty world class. And we spent 2-3 years actually. 3 years?
Yeah.
Yeah, three years. Fuck. Working our tails off on Dose and building a company, hiring people, selling this product, this platform, learning a shitload about something that in hindsight we knew nothing about. And it was a pretty wild 3 years. And it feels like a good time, the right time for us to talk about it now, because unfortunately that Dose journey has come to an end.
Yeah, I think, let's put the cards on the table. We started a tech company, as you said, had no idea what we're doing. We raised money from VCs and did all that stuff and made loads of mistakes. And unfortunately, as I know a lot of people will be aware, the market in the last 12 months has been incredibly tough and we weren't immune to that. But I think the fascinating thing about the Dose journey isn't necessarily any of the kind of individual moments or individual learnings in terms of the business, but more so, firstly, what adventure has given us, in the previous things that we've done, what that gave us in terms of coping mechanisms and a mindset that transferred pretty well over to running a startup. So we want to talk about that. I think so many people I speak to when they hear what we do, they're always like, I do want to start my own business, but I don't really know how. It's the wrong time. I don't really want to take the risk. So hopefully there's a few lessons in this to people that are maybe thinking about it. I saw a stat the other day that I think it's over 60% of the under 30 workforce in the UK want to start their own business.
Bloody hell.
But I imagine it didn't say the actual stat of how many go on and do it, but it'll probably be under 5%. What's the reason for that? Is it fear? Is it any other kind of components? So we'll go into that and really just try and pick out what we learned from that entire journey. Because I think you hear a lot about big successes in the startup world over the last year, and definitely another year to come. You're going to hear a lot about the failures, $200-300 million raised and now gone bust. We certainly didn't raise that much. If we did, we'd still be going for another 50 years. It's like, spend some money. It's like, never. what is essentially, in the book, a failure is probably one of the biggest learning journeys we've ever had over 3 years.
Yeah, definitely.
So what would you say, if we're looking at, the characteristics that we talk about a lot in terms of this adventure mindset, what we've learned from spending 3 days on El Cap or being capsized in the Atlantic, what are the skills that you think we've learned that helped us deal with a lot of the downturns in Dose, so to speak?
And the many downturns.
There were many. And it's worth putting it out there, running a company like that was very stressful.
Totally.
Very, very stressful.
Totally. We had a couple of team members in Sweden who were selling to HR teams and heads of people in San Francisco. It was definitely very stressful. But I think the short answer is absolutely loads crossed over. And I almost kind of felt it at the time, but I do feel like the adventures and the years of doing those kind of epic trips and challenges kind of armed us pretty well. That mixed with the fact that we have spent years prior to Dose working with companies and awesome teams at startups and scale-ups to kind of know almost what to expect in some sense. The classics are resilience, the removing the fear from something and seeing the opportunity in it. I think that's... Let's start with that one, actually, because that feels like the most natural. I think to tee up Dose, it started with COVID happening. We had an amazing year lined up for the Tempest 2. Was looking like it was going to be our best year ever. And obviously with COVID, every single booking that we had, whether it was a keynote, a workshop, an offsite, was cancelled pretty much within a 2-week period. And I think if we hadn't have been through the 5 or so years prior to that with the Row and Patagonia and El Cap and all those experiences that we had, we definitely would have panicked big time. The shit would have hit the fan. We wouldn't have known what to do. But I think in the first instance, we took that news, as gutting as it was, like pretty well. All of our runway, so to speak, and our year's worth of income was literally disappearing in front of our eyes. And we didn't just shit ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of immediately were looking for solutions. And because we reacted in that way and were quite grounded the whole time, it meant that we could see an opportunity quite quickly. And Dose felt like, and it still feels like, it is an amazing opportunity, and there's a massive place for it. So I think if we'd have been, you know, shitting ourselves, wondering where the rent was going to get paid or mortgage and what we were going to do and how we're going to make money, we wouldn't have been able to see those opportunities. We would have done what a lot of people have done, gone to find, you know, the easiest job or the quickest job that would put the money in our pocket the soonest. But obviously, coming at it from a different angle and having those experiences meant that we were able to just take those massive setbacks just on the chin and be like, right, what should we do now? Let's look at it from like a good perspective.
Yeah, I think it's when you do big, hard things, it doesn't necessarily need to be an adventure. It definitely gives you what I would probably say is almost like blind optimism.
Yeah.
Which I think is actually an underrated skill, you know, just being like, yeah, of course we'll do that. Of course we'll start a tech company and raise money from VCs having never done it, having never built any tech, having never hired anyone technical or raised money or spoken to a VC or understanding how equity works or dilution. Yeah, okay, of course we'll do it. We had a deck within 2 days. And I think that blind optimism is something that all people that start a business need. And we're saying founders and startups at the moment, this is completely applicable to a small business.
Yeah.
So having that just like big vision and like completely ignoring everyone who's telling you it's a bad idea is probably the most important skill, because that is the one thing that stops people from taking that first step, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or I'm not sure I can do it. Oh, I don't think it will work. Or, you know, my mum thinks it's a bad idea. Okay, fuck it. I'll just stay in what I'm doing. So that's probably the most important one. And then you touched on it. The resilience, I think, is probably for me number two.
Yeah.
In terms of importance, because running a business from LinkedIn and Instagram, it looks amazing. Oh yeah, I went to this conference and I'm celebrating this, you know, milestone, and we've hit this kind of monthly recurring revenue. We got a new client, but behind that, you know, nice placid lake is fucking absolute frenzy, and it's all it is just firefighting problems.
Yeah,
it's contracts are wrong, it's payments are late, it's a client drops out. You know, for us, it was, I remember it so well, it was the Christmas of 2022. We had just changed the idea for Dose, which we'll also come on to as a skill, as being adaptable. We'd pivoted to a new idea, was going really well, just got our first big client in the US, we're about to raise more money from our VCs, the markets went to shit, all of our clients dropped out, all of the VCs dropped out in the space of 2 days.
Yep.
And I was in a Tesco car park. My Range Rover, my old battered Range Rover, had died. I was there for 9 hours and I got the email from the client saying they were pulling out after invoices and scope of work signed. And then I got the email from the VC saying they were pulling out, and I was sat in a Tesco cafe just like, oh Lord.
Oh Lord. I can't even get in a good coffee.
Yeah. And I've got a Range Rover being dragged onto the back of an AA that's going to cost me about $2,000. Oh my God.
Yeah.
There's moments like that, and it's just like, holy shit, this is bad.
Yeah. And I think with resilience and with both the adventure stuff that we've done and the startup stuff and the startup teams that we've worked with, I think people initially see resilience as like a one thing. Like there's this one hurdle, and if we can overcome that, then, you know, great, we're cruising. But the reality is that it's something different every week. I remember the first time ever experiencing or having that feeling was on the row.
Yeah.
Where literally I've got it in my diary that I made when we were on the row, and it was like day 29, and my diary entry was, it's like, something has gone wrong on this boat every fucking day. And it just became the norm. But it was like, but then that exact same thing, it might not be every day, but with those, every week something was happening. You're spinning multiple plates. Something was changing. Yeah, exactly like you said. So yeah, I completely agree. Resilience is a big one. I'm going to go to something that we spoke about a lot, probably on here as well, with the Tempest 2, is surrounding yourself with the right people. Mm. And it's just as relevant in a startup team or a small team or even individually as it is in adventure. You know, we talk about climbing and being able to learn from Honnold and Tommy Caldwell or the Patagonia staff partnering with the Nike Master Trainers. And we knew the importance of surrounding ourselves with amazing people. And I think we did that very well with Dose, whether it was mentors or even the people that we hired, the team. We are very good at knowing what we don't know.
Yeah.
And not letting ego kind of get in the way or pretending like we know what we're doing. We'd much rather kind of understand our limitations and surround ourselves with people better than us. And I think we did that quite well.
The tough thing is, isn't it though, with when you look at companies and hiring, is it's so hard to dig into what someone is actually like.
Totally.
You know, someone could just be a good interviewer, you know, piece of paper on their, you know, CVs, it looks pretty good.
Yeah.
You hire them and then shit goes wrong and they just melt down.
Yeah.
Or they're terrible with other team members, or they're, you know, they're really arrogant, or they're too introverted, and you know, all these things that you just cannot understand about people.
Yeah.
Until they're in the company. And that was actually kind of the grand vision for Dose at a point, wasn't it? Was to try and measure these soft skills of employees to then, you know, so when you do hire someone, you know, okay, they score really highly in resilience or whatever.
Yeah.
I generally think that's probably an impossible task.
well, that's also what Dose was about, wasn't it? We were creating a network of basically mentors, external mentors that people would pay for, and you might get a big wave surfer or a climber or the ex co-founder of this company, whatever, come and speak to your team. So the whole premise of Dose was around surrounding people in organizations with amazing people. So yeah, we're obviously big believers in that.
What an idea. Let's spin it back up.
We're live again.
Why fucking, oh God.
Maybe we can speak on that at the end, why we think it didn't work, but we'll go through all these first.
Yeah, I mean, that's a hell of a long episode. Fucking hell. yeah, and I think the learning thing is, you know, the last decade has all been around learning to learn, isn't it? That's
definitely
kind of been our whole ethos as the Tempest 2, has been starting from square one, day one novice in a new discipline, surrounding yourself with the right people, having that big vision, and learning a new skill quickly and efficiently.
Yep.
And I think one of the things that I'm most grateful for the 3 years of Dose is just the amount I now know about so many different things, whether it's the noisy, boring stuff like incorporating a company in the US.
In Delaware.
Yeah, or like pitching to, you know, an institutional VC, or understanding the, you know, the paperwork that goes into, you know, equity rounds, or bringing on new people, or hiring in Sweden, or all this shit that you would just never know. You'd never read about it, you don't care about it. But after 3 years, now have just so much more understanding of business.
Yeah.
And I think there is 100% a reason why most of these successful big name founders, they failed 2, 3, 4, 5 times in the past.
Yeah.
Because it takes an absolute golden bullet to hit the big time on your first go.
I think
Zuckerberg is probably one of the only people that have done that, really.
He's a robot.
Yeah, so, and the man is AI.
We speak to VCs who would say, you know, they would only invest in second time, you know, third time founders, and would never invest in first time founders. Like, gotcha.
But it makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, totally.
You just make so many mistakes.
You do learn, yeah. And you are ultimately learning on someone else's dime, aren't you, basically?
Yes.
but yeah, that's exactly right. Exactly right. Learning, big one. Right, I'm going to jump up to adaptability.
Uh-huh.
And basically the thinking of always being flexible and by that we mean not being tied to a certain idea or an expectation. I think it's very easy and convenient to want whatever the first thing that you come up with, this first idea that, you know, makes sense to you and maybe that you raise money off, being the thing, the perfect thing for everyone. And in part of this learning process and in the years of Dose, you know, we had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of conversations with people. Most people had a slightly different view on Dose, even though we'd maybe give them exactly the same spiel. So you have to be kind of adaptable to new ideas, to new opportunities, and to the very real possibility that what you think is going to be perfect and going to work is more than likely going to be wrong.
Yeah. Well, we had, in 3 years, we had two significant pivots, didn't we?
Yeah.
And when we say significant, we mean the entire company changed from like B2B to B2C, then back to B2B. So yeah, being adaptable is absolutely crucial.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you look at the biggest company, you look at Slack, for example. Slack started as a computer game.
Yeah, exactly.
They built their own internal messaging system for the computer game. The computer game failed. Then they're like, this messaging system's pretty good. And that's how Slack was born. YouTube starting as like a dating clip website.
Yeah.
So, yeah, adaptability, absolutely crucial. And then I think the final one is, I think, controlling like fear and emotion and excitement.
Yeah.
I think that's something we've become relatively good at over the years, where, you know, it's natural to fear something, but having the ability to say, you know, the fear is really just like a type of excitement, isn't it?
Yeah.
Your body being like, there's a bit of a warning here. You're either too high up, or there's a risk of life, or the storm's coming, whatever it is. But in a business, it just happens more often with random things. And I think if you can remove yourself and be like, we'll probably laugh about this in 3 months.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, this thing that seems like the end of the world today, in a year's time, like, won't even make it onto like an investor update, for example.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think it's very easy to get sucked into the granular, like, oh my God, this is the worst thing that could ever happen to me in my life. Whereas, like, I think if you have the ability to zoom out and be, and that comes with experience of multiple companies, multiple failures, or doing big, hard things.
Exactly. I think fear is, firstly, like, completely natural. But as you said, it's the exact same response, like, physiologically in your body as excitement. And I read something really good the other day. It's going to sound like I'm plagiarizing because I can't remember who said it. But it was basically saying how fear, like, the only difference between fear and excitement is the future projection that you have in your own head. So if you're thinking about the future and your projection is negative, then you're fearful of it. If you think about exactly the same thing and you can make that thought positive, then it's excitement.
Mm.
And it's a really like easy way to, as you said, like when you step back, try and change the way you view something just by asking yourself a different question, is how you might change fear into excitement. But it definitely helps doing things that fill you with fear regularly.
Yeah.
And it definitely crosses over. So if you do something that you might find fearful, like, you know, not as extreme example as rowing the Atlantic, but for us, that they were the things that we'd gone through that fear barrier, and realized that most of the time that worst case scenario never happens. And when you have kind of have practice in that, it crosses over into business life and family life and the way you think about money and all that sort of stuff. So it's very valuable, and it's why we say all the time about doing hard things, because a lot of hard things people are a bit fucking fearful, like they might fail, tends to be a big one. Scared of failing, scared of being embarrassed, like us in High Rocks.
Which is why we're just trying to throw the reputation of High Rocks down the pan.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what? I don't even care anymore.
Yeah, exactly. But I think that's a massive thing that stops people not only from getting started, because that's obviously a big one. Like you said at the beginning, loads of people have this dream, this desire to do their own thing, but fear is the main thing holding them back. But it also stops people, as they're doing it, from like being adaptable, from trying something new, or what keeps them pigeonholed in the same thing. So it's quite a big one, I find.
The fear should be regretting not doing it.
Exactly.
Oh.
Imagine
get that.
Imagine staying in the same job that you hate for 10 more years.
Yeah,
that's scary.
That's scary.
that's mortifying. Get out now.
Get out. Quit.
If you're listening, this is your message. but yeah, I think they're. Yeah. Anything else? I think there are learnings.
I think that's the learnings, and what's quite nice that you know we've spent the last. Well, the most part of this year, after deciding to close down Dose, you know, kind of going through this stuff, what we learned and whatever. And I think it's given us a really interesting perspective on, you know, a lot of the work we've done in the past has been with big, you know, blue chip companies or big, you know, big famous tech companies. We've worked with their leadership teams and motivated their teams. But I think now that we've gone through that, you know, the turmoil of running a kind of a funded startup, we kind of have a bit more empathy for, you know, the founders and the people going through similar things and much to a much greater scale than we ever have.
Yeah.
So I think we definitely are looking to turn our attention to, you know, almost coaching these people on motivation and mindset and resilience and building a resilient team and dealing with the ups and downs. Because I think it's something that we, you know, we've been doing anyway, but for different companies.
Yeah, totally.
So we're definitely going to try and, help a few founders out there, business owners, which, you know, wouldn't have happened if we hadn't gone through the whole Dose process in the first place.
Yeah, exactly. I do feel like we are very uniquely positioned in that sense of not just having the startup experience, but having that mixed with the personal, like wild adventure stuff. And the fact that we've now spent nearly a decade, which is mental, inside, as you said, some of the most incredible organizations who have been through that startup journey, scale up journey into, so yeah, obviously the pinnacle, whether it's the Airbnbs or Googles, etc. So yeah, it'd be nice to chat to founders, etc., to share some of that.
For sure.
And then yeah, next week we'll pick up on something pretty special.
Like it. Which we will find in the next few days.
So make sure you tune in again next week.
And don't forget, if you haven't already, head to our website or type into Substack, Adventure Capital or The Tempest 2.
Yes.
And sign up to our newsletter, which is growing really nicely. And I actually very much enjoy reading it when you write it.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening all.
Fantastic. Great to be back. And we will see you next week.
Cheers, guys.